Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
You're listening to Hoosier Football Tailgate on the Believe Network.
Every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hoosier Football Tailgate is sponsored by Bet Online. Bet Online is where the game starts.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Hoosier Football Tailgate here on April the 9th, 2024. Hoosiers had a big scrimmage this past Saturday. We're going to talk a little bit about that to see if anything has kind of resolved itself or has someone moved in front of someone else. Did QB1 become decided? Or is it still an open competition? We're going to cover all that here in just a moment. But first, want to thank Bet Online for all their sponsorship of the Hoosier Football Tailgate. Remember, each and every week, you can find Bet Online on a desktop or mobile. And remember that they will have all your up-to-date stats, news, betting lines, parlays, you name it, they've got it. NBA playoffs around the corner, NHL playoffs around the corner. You've got all the Major League Baseball games in full swing, just the oodles of amounts of games to be looked at. Bet On and Bet Online is the destination to go. Remember, Bet Online is where the game starts. And like I said, practice number 9 was completed this morning at Indiana in Bloomington. And, you know, I think a couple things can be said of that. Practice today, we'll get into it. Watch some of his pressers and today, and going to try to decipher some things from my point of view, having been a college coach and trying to read the minds of maybe another coach and how he may speak to the media, and maybe did he let some things out that gave us some clues as we head into that important spring game, April the 18th, when everyone will be have an opportunity to watch the Hoosiers in person, Memorial Stadium, 8 o'clock, a part of Little 5 weekend there in Bloomington. And if you're planning on going and staying over the night, well, you better make a reservation quick, because the hotel rooms are going fast and quick. In some respects, they're already sold out. Yours truly is planning to be in Beantown on the 18th, potentially doing a show. And we'll keep you up to date on all of that and what is happening with that here as we go along. But remember, April 18th, Memorial Stadium, the Hoosiers spring game. You get to see your Hoosiers in action and Coach Stignetti's first spring game down in Bloomington that Thursday night, 8 o'clock on April 18th. Quick thing here before we jump into the football side of things. Remember, recruiting is always going on, and every day there's something new that hits across the the news feeds and things of that magnitude. And Hoosiers have been having a multitude of visitors in for visits during spring practice. You know, you got the 24, 25 kids, 26 kids that are actually coming on campus as well. Everything's a year in advance at the Division I level as it pertains to who may have offers, who may not have offers, so forth and so on. But a big one came across that they gained a commit from LeBron Bond, the young man out of North Fork, Virginia, a very talent-rich area in recruiting. That Norfolk area is a very good area to go recruit, and they've got LeBron Bond, probably about a 5'9 receiver, probably going to play would be projected as a slot receiver, very quick, but again, he has that ability to take it to the distance, and he's very fast, something that you can't coach. But let's take a quick Let's take a look at LeBron's video here. Young man out of Norfolk, Virginia. Wide receiver, about 5'9", maybe around 180, 190 pounds. You're going to see the speed this young man has here. Him going up on a 50-50 ball and making the catch. And here's a good one that kind of sold it on me of showing his speed here. Really good speed. I'm going to say he's about a 4.4 legit, maybe 4, you know, a little better. But he, good strider, gets up the field, makes plays, finds a hole, hits it. And you know, here, you know, this is one here that, too, speed-wise, look at him outrun people on angles. That right there was phenomenal. Here's speed sweep that they like to do at IU as well. Again, his ability to get out and go and hit high speed within about a couple steps is very impressive. Big commit for the Hoosiers. Biggest thing is trying to keep him until you see the whites of their eyes or signs on the dotted line. You know, they were involved with some heavy competition with this young man. He had offers from BC, Duke, Maryland, Syracuse, Virginia Tech, and Virginia. And the Hoosiers going in and taking a kid out of Norfolk, Virginia. Kudos to their recruiting efforts on this young man, but just a truly, truly good wide receiver. I would say he's more or less a slot receiver in the Hoosier schemes, but he's got a lot of great potential in adding to an already competitive, athletic wide receiver room. LeBron Bond from Norfolk, Virginia. Again, great pickup for the Hoosiers and all the things that they're looking to add to their program here through recruiting. Hopefully this young man makes it on campus and becomes a factor for the Hoosiers in years to come. But it'll be interesting to see where he fits out in the Hoosier scheme. Talent and a very good pickup for Indiana and a very competitive wide receiver room as it is today at Indiana. And I tell you, I think they got some weapons in that room. We'll see how it all projects out here coming through the end of the month, but through the spring game, I should say. But it's definitely a wide receiver room that is very talented and very competitive. And you add a young man like LeBron to that group of kids, and you can see the electrifying aspects of his film thus far from Virginia. So good, exciting news there. That always is changing and ever evolving in the recruiting phase of things. Just because a young man says he's committed, you know, it's never official until you see the whites of their eyes on your campus. But he either signs on the dotted line, but it looks very good that the Hoosiers will retain the services of Mr. Bond. But we'll wait and see. But big get for them out of Virginia. Well, today they finished up practice number 9, and basically they had the spring they had their scrimmage on Saturday down in Indiana, and really on Sunday morning they showed them the film of that. But that was their last contact with them. As you know, that everybody went through the eclipse. And so now they don't get a chance to have anything with them on Monday, as everything was canceled because of the eclipse, and that Bloomington was in that 100% totality and the stadium was actually occupied. So the Hoosier coaching staff met with them Sunday to show them the video of Saturday's scrimmage, and then did not have any contact with him till today. And it was a good gauge for Coach Signetti. If you listen to him today, he wasn't overly pleased with, I guess, the overall effort, mental focus, coming off a day off on Monday, which you could imagine that there were some other things that are occurring in Bloomington downtown during the time of the eclipse. But he just felt in some respects it was a wasted opportunity. Not that everyone was lumped into that, but he said there were some kids that came out and understood what was needed to be done to get better, and others, like he said, felt like it was the old Indiana, and he needed to make a point of that by the end of the practice. And you know, you're looking for a constant upward trajectory in the spring ball, where you're getting better each and every day, each and every practice. And I think if you asked him today as a whole, he thought he probably took a step back in terms of the kids' mental preparation and being able to fight through some distractions that he didn't feel like they handled overly well. So today in that respect wasn't overly positive in the sense of what they got on the field from the entire team. And he let them know that at the end of practice. I'm not sure what all was done, whether that was words, whether that was a few sprints here and there. I don't know, but he handled it just like any coach does. And he had a quote that I thought was very relevant. The coaches are not there to please the players. The players are there to please the coaches. And that was one thing that he said today that I got a kick out of, because it's absolutely true. Spring ball is a chance for a young man to impress his position coach and the coaches overall. And when you miss an opportunity to do that, especially in a competitive.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Room, be it wide receivers, running back, or even at the quarterback position, you're taking a step backwards, and that's not what you want to do. Overall impressions thus far, he's very impressed with his running back depth. I think he feels pretty confident that that room is a solidified group with some very talented transfers that have come in that group. So I don't necessarily think he's going to single out any one particular. But he feels very confident that room gives them the best chance to be very good in the running game as well as the passing game, utilizing the running back as either a pass protector or somebody that you can get out in the route. So very encouraging there. And that's one area that I think Indiana has had some success with, is at the running back position over the years, or at least they've been pretty solid there. I think the only thing they really have truly lacked is that breakaway speed type of guy. And they haven't had that for a few years, but overly impressed there. Wide receiver room, his quote was, "The cream will rise to the top." And I think in that room, you can bet that the transfers that he kind of signaled out about a week ago, and made the comment about Donovan McCauley needing to step it up a bit. I think you're finding out right now that that room is very deep and very competitive for reps and on the field. Now, you're going to have at least 7 to 8 bodies and wide receivers that you will need throughout the year to be able to play a game. You're probably going to rotate at least 7 in and out, and maybe 8 depending on what you're doing that game. So you need a really solid group of 2 deep receivers there. And I think right now he feels that he's got at least 4 that have kind of separated themselves, and then some others that need to step it up. And you know, he made that kind of comment about McCauley last week, and I'm not sure his impression is overly changed there, or I didn't get the feeling that it had, because if it had changed, I think he would have mentioned Donovan in the presser today, but we'll wait and see. In that regard, he did talk a little bit about the defense, knowing that there are some key components there that are either injured. The secondary is kind of a work in progress. They're kind of evaluating each and every position, what they have, what they don't have, and maybe what they need. I think in the secondary, that's an ever-evolving picture because, again, you're going to need, you know, that 7 to 8 bodies that you can throw out there on the field at any one time and you get really good production out of. I'm not sure that he feels that he's got that at the moment. I'm not even sure he knows what is the best position for some of those guys that are there, whether it be a cornerback or a secondary guy, you know, the safeties positions. But overall, I think that room is a little bit of work in progress. I know they're a little light in the defensive line. I would say the linebacker position is a pretty strong position for them defensively, where they feel that, they probably have got that 6 or 7 guys that can be in and giving them productive reps. But I think the defense as a whole is probably maybe not where they would hoped it would be in some respects. And I think a lot of that may be due to where either injury or maybe what they're still lacking. And from that standpoint, when it goes to the evaluation process, he did make mention of the offensive line today, which I thought was a good sign in the development and Coach Bob Stead's group. He made a point about with there being some injured guys not being able to participate this spring. It's given some of the younger guys the much needed reps that they've needed, and hopefully in solidifying a very good 2 deep. Again, you're going to need 10 O-linemen each and every week because you never know who's going to be the next man up in that group. I think they've seen the steady improvement that they've wanted to. I think if you ask Coach Bob Stead, I think overall he's probably pleased and has a better understanding where they are at depth-wise, even with the guys that are not participating right now. But he's getting a good solid look at a lot of the young guys that will give them an idea of what they got down the, you know, coming up in the years to come and how they feel with that group. And they're making steady progress, or at least that is the impression I took from what Coach Cignetti said today. And did we have a QB1 announced today? That is a good question, because right now, after the scrimmage, it sounded as if Rourke has really stepped up and separated himself in the competition, with him and Taven being the main two priority contenders, not trying to exclude anybody like Tyler Cherry or Brock Lowry. But it sounds to me that Rourke has a pretty good handle of the offense, even though it's a completely new scheme. And, you know, he has all the intangibles that we've talked about. He's got the size and strength. He throws a good football. He's got good arm strength. He does have the ability to move in the pocket and avoid, you know, taking sacks and things of that magnitude. And I just think right now he thinks his overall game has really separated him from Taven. Now, he did not say that Taven is out of the picture. He said, I think what we've all seen from Taven, you get a day where he looks like he's, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. And then the next day you get the inconsistency and a step backwards. So remember, Taven is in the grand scheme still a young quarterback and needing more time to mature and not being thrust into a position of potential failure. That does not mean that he can't be ready to play this year, because in all practical purposes, you're going to need, you know, 2 solid quarterbacks to feel going in each and every week. You can win with either one of them. But right now, I would say that it is pretty evident that Rourke is well on his way to earning the starting quarterback position. doubtful that that will be a item of conclusion when it comes to the end of spring, that he would automatically announce that, because I think he will probably hold his cards to his vest, and we'll see what happens here over the next few weeks. But I would say that Rourke has done the things that we all hoped he would, and what he has shown on his film and the body of work that he had at OU, and coming off an injury and relearning a completely different system, new wordage, verbiage, terminologies, different reads that may be a little bit different from what he had at Ohio U. But I think you can be pretty rest assured that they feel pretty good on where Rourke is at this point in time in the spring. And hey, look, Taven's got to get better, and reps will help that. And just remember, he's still a young kid in the grand scheme of things. And if, you know, patience is the virtue with Taven. And I think when you look at it from a bigger picture, you can see where his development over the next couple of years could be a really good asset for him heading into his latter years of competition. If he can, you know, mature and get some more consistency in his play at quarterback. But we will all see with that. But I think right now, I think after the number of practices they've had, with that being at number 9, and they're heading in here to the last couple weeks of their spring practice, I think overall the progress that has been made, at least according to Coach Cignetti, is a positive one. I do think he feels there are some things that they're going to look at in the portal, because remember, the portal comes back open here in the month of May. And that's, you know, while you like to keep some kids that you already have here, because there are no rules as it pertains to multi-year transfers, there is a possibility that you're going to see some guys jump in the portal to see what other avenues are available to them. Some of those may be encouraged from the standpoint of where they see them fitting in the grand scheme of things. Some of them may become a surprise in terms of who's jumping in the portal. But rest assured, I'm sure they are going to be looking for the ingredients that they feel they need here heading into the summer, in terms of shoring up some positions that they feel maybe they need some depth at for the season. And I wouldn't be surprised on the defensive side of ball if you wouldn't see some possible portal transfers. And I don't think he'll just go out to take a body for the sake of taking a body. I think he'll be highly selective on who they're going to actively recruit in that manner, because you don't want to put yourself at bringing in somebody that A, doesn't fulfill the roles that you need, and B, is a cancer. So there's a reason why they're in the portal. Just remember that. And sometimes the reasons have to do with off-field and attitude issues more so than anything. But we shall see. I always caution everybody with that, because it's still an ever-evolving landscape when you talk about the portal and the transfer rules and how many times a kid can transfer. And that's something that's ultimately going to have to be addressed by the NCAA and the member institutions as it pertains to this. Now, part of it is because of a case in West Virginia that basically put an injunction in place saying that no, you cannot put a limit on a number of times a kid can transfer. So right now, the NCAA is a little handcuffed, as is the member institutions, as it pertains to this transfer situation. So you just have to deal with it as it comes and accept it is what it is for the time being. And you find ways that it can help and benefit you, and not worry about why or why nots on some of the kids that may jump in to the portal. Also, remember, you know, the collectives and how those are actively involved. They can contact kids in the portal. They can give them numbers in terms of their value. And again, These are things that are out of the control of the member institutions, and nothing can be done until some of these court cases are settled and the NCAA can kind of have a meeting of the minds with their member institutions to establish something moving forward. Now, one thing to keep an eye on that I've been hearing, and it has actually been reported to as well, as I've talked to some of my buddies that are still involved in all this, is that there's a potential of a super conference being established with maybe only having three total. And you're kind of seeing that already with the SEC and the Big Ten really making big moves. The ACC at this point in time looks like they're going to be decimated by guys, by teams leaving. You have, I think Clemson has filed the paperwork to leave the ACC. You've seen Florida State do that as well. So it'll be interesting to see where those two schools may end up. I don't know. Maybe at Clemson is a team that comes, you know, either, you know, goes into the SEC with Florida State, or do they potentially be coveted by a Big Ten as another school? But it looks as if we're heading to these super conferences, and I would guess to say between the ACC and the Big 12, those are going to be the battles to determine how that all falls out and where these schools go in the event that happens. But there would also be a breakaway from the NCAA as well, and they would establish their own governing body, or at least that is the on the street rumor to date. I don't, you know, take it for what it's worth. It's innuendo, it's speculation at best. But I do think the landscape of college athletics, college football in particular, will be changing here over the next 3 to 5 years. And television money and all that will all be involved in that equation to a certain extent. Keep an eye on what Notre Dame does, because I think ultimately their independent status in the event that this would go to a super conference theory, that Notre Dame may be forced to join one of the super conferences in order for them to be involved with everything from A to Z. So that's a situation, you know, keep a close eye on to see what happens with that and where Notre Dame may end up in the event that they would have to declare for a conference. But again, speculation, innuendo, we'll see what all happens. In the meantime, we'll leave it as at that. Again, thanks again to Bet Online for their sponsorship of today's Hoosier Football Tailgate. Remember, use the code BELIEV, B-L-E-A-V, and get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with BetOnline. And remember, you can access that through their mobile app or on your desktop computer. Thanks again to them. Like I said, I'm working to be in Beantown on the 18th, working on something about potentially doing a show from Memorial Stadium on that evening, or maybe something afterwards. We'll work and we'll see what all transpires here over the next 2 weeks, and I'll keep you up to date on all of that. Remember, follow me on at Hoosier Tailgate on X, formerly known as Twitter, or Coach Griff 55 as well. Give you all the up-to-date information there. YouTube channel, please, if you can, like, subscribe, comment, retweet, resend, however that works in the world of social media. Anything you can do to promote the show for me, I greatly, greatly appreciate, as we work to get you the best and up-to-date information on your Indiana Hoosiers and their football progress throughout the spring and summer. For myself, Shannon Griffith, and for everybody here associated with Hoosier Football Tailgate, we'll see you next time right here on the Believe Network.
Thanks for listening to the Hoosier Football Tailgate with the coach, Shannon Griffin, here on the Believe Network.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.